Welcome to the Analytics Dynasty Daily Podcast. I am your host, Jordan McNamara, and we are diving into the Washington football team. And a new addition to the Washington football team, one Carson Wentz. Now, if you're a longtime subscriber of the Analytics of Dynasty, you will know that I have had questions about Carson Wentz in the past. And now we've seen that play out in a prematurely shortened career in Philly and what is otherwise a one-year stint where everyone on the way out has basically trashed him. And that's where we're basically at. Now he's traded to Washington, and we're heading into a phase of his career where I think that there's more questions than answers at this point. That, I think, is basically where we find ourselves. Carson Wentz, I do think it is important to think about this from a, you know, from a going forward perspective. No dead cap over the next 2 years. No guaranteed money over the next 2 years. $26 and $27 million, respectively, in cap cost. Again, remember, he was traded from Indy to Washington earlier on this calendar year. I was just diving back in, and you look at these things, and he's never graded well at PFF. He's been in the green, but I would say he's graded good or well, I guess. He hasn't graded very good or, you know, very well, I guess. He hasn't graded at what you would consider, I think, an upper echelon of the position type of player, really, in his career. His highest PFF grade was 84.9, and that was that second year, his injury shortened year in 2017. He has not cracked 80 since then, and so there's a lot of that problem. Career 3.5 turnover worthy play percent. So again, that's not, it hasn't been great in terms of that. However, when you look at his 2021 season, I think it was a bounce back. He's never been a high yards per attempt thrower. In the year of our Lord 2022, that is a problem. That can't be the case. You can't average 6.8 yards per attempt in your career and expect to be a long-term passer. Just can't do it. Just cannot have it. And that's where he's at, a 6.8 yards per attempt passer. 2018 was the last time that he has averaged over 7 yards per attempt, a long time ago. So that was a long time ago that happened. So, where does last year sort of rank? The bottom in terms of big time throw rate, it was actually his lowest turnover worthy play rate of his career. It was his basically at the median in ADOT, which I find interesting. It's a lower big time throw rate, lower turnover-worthy play rate, but actually not that low relative to the rest of his career in terms of his ADOT. I guess it was right at about his median. He's been there for 6 years, and his next highest is 8.5. So his third and fourth highest are 8.4 and 8.5 ADOT. So again, that's right about at the median there for him. It's his lowest pressure to sack rate, which is interesting. He got the ball out. He held on to it basically a tenth of a second less than he did the year prior, which was his career high. Last year would have been his career high in terms of time to throw as well. So I know there was a big kind of complaint, a big problem with him being a bad protection, if you will, earlier on in his career. I think this is an interesting, Philly really mistreated him or whatever. He turned 26.3% of his pressures into dropbacks in 2020, and that's just unacceptable. And you look at it, it's 2.88 seconds to throw. Last year, he comes down a tenth of a second, and it's 15.2% of his pressures turn into sacks. So a really marked drop. That's well below his career average. That's actually the lowest of his career. So a good development there from, you know, turning and getting the ball out. I actually think to a certain degree, you could say when he left Philly, he was skittish. I think that's a pretty good sign that he's probably not, right? So I think there is some stuff there to like with him that last year was basically, you know, again, it's six seasons. He has had three seasons of a better PFF grade and two seasons of a worse one, that including his, I'm sorry, only one season of a worse PFF grade, which was in 2020. So again, down at the bottom, that was his passing grade. As a rushing grade, when you combine basically his entire offense together, this was his third best, or his third worst season, I guess. This ranks slightly better than his rookie season, much better than his 2020 season, and then below that stretch from 2017 to 2019 that got him the contract extension. So that's basically where we find ourselves with him. So I did want to do a rundown of that. Is he a long-term starter in the league? Contractually, and you'll hear this podcast actually after I recorded. I am recording some of these podcasts in advance because I'm going on vacation the week of the 19th to the 25th. So you will be hearing these, and I'm recording them in advance. So I'm trying to get my order of which I'm releasing them down, you have heard the Eric Eager podcast already, which I released this past Sunday, which is actually in the future of when I'm actually recording this. But so you heard that, and we did talk a lot about the what I would consider like the middle tier of the quarterback position, middle class of the quarterback position, really thinking about guys that aren't necessarily long-term established guys, but are, you know, in the middle range of the position, and almost that can be a trap. I wonder, you know, as you look at these guys, you're going to look at guys like, you know, Brady starts to age out, and you lost Breeze, and you lost Roethlisberger, and the whole type there. You have to backfill them with somebody. I wonder if it's going to be guys like Wentz being retreads, or if it's end up going to be guys like, you know, where teams are taking more shots on guys in the draft, right? And so maybe you actually get a situation where it's, you know, it's teams taking a shot on rookie deals, hoping for that financial incentive that we talked about in that podcast. So I wonder a lot about how guys like Wentz fit in that, how Jalen Hurts fits in that, which perfectly fine on a rookie deal, but once you have to pay him, is he someone that's actually going to hamstring your franchise versus elevate it, right? Jared Goff fits in that as well. I kind of wonder how that, now that we've sort of lived through this generation of quarterback issues, I wonder how that's going to happen with Wentz. So that's really the big thing that I would have about Wentz as a quarterback issue. In terms of, I think he's going to be, I don't know if emblematic's the right word, but he's going to be part of a changing landscape in the NFL. I think at the quarterback position, I'd be really curious to see how he fits into it and financially how that all works for him. So that's the big overall takeaway on Wentz, I guess. They added Andrew Norwell and Trey Turner on the offensive line, lost Brandon Schrieff and Eric Flowers. They drafted Jahan Dotson in the first round, Brian Robinson at 98 overall, Sam Howell at 144, and then Cole Turner, tight end, at 149. So those are really the bigger offseason moves. So those are really the big things there. And again, I think that from a contract standpoint, we're waiting on Terry McLaurin for certain. There's some news out this week in terms of, hey, we're negotiating, sort of working it out, you know, trying to do that thing with the coaching staff. So keep your eyes open for that. And that's definitely, I think, probably their biggest off-season finance issue there. So again, how this offense fits in from what it did last year, I think is a question mark, right? I'm not sure how it's going to fit in. Because it should look different than it did with Tyler Heinicke. But they ranked 19th in plays last year, 19th in dropbacks per game, a designed pass rate of 58.6%, which ranks 18th. So again, right about in the middle, 18th in rushing attempts. Again, right about the middle of the pack. They ran slower than the average. The average, again, 2.0. 27.9 seconds per play. They were at 28.5. Top three in passes behind the line of scrimmage. They were 24th in short, 23rd in medium, and then 6th in deep passing rate there. So we'll see how that moves with Wentz. They ranked 22nd in yards per attempt. They ranked 24th in terms of touchdown rate, and they ranked 10th in terms of they were the 10th highest sack rate. So, again, a little bit of concern there with some of the stuff that Wentz has done in his prior life about turning pass rushes into sacks. So we'll be on the watch for that. Tyler Heinicke actually scrambled a ton. 6.9% was his scramble rate. 5th in the league was them as a team. Threw a ton of play action, 32%. They were one of the best teams in terms of play action over non-play action at 56.2% improvement. That ranks 2nd in the league. Last year, their offense ran the 8th most routes per dropbacks for their running backs. They ranked 3rd in targets, 2nd in receptions per dropback, and 3rd in yards per dropback. So good stuff there. No surprise. It's funny, when you just look at some of these stats, you could just look at them and say, all right, well, what team's going to sort of do what? Well, they ranked 10th in wide receiver routes, 22nd wide receiver targets, 24th in receptions per drop back, and then 24th in yards per drop back from the receiver position. So classic case of they underperformed what they wanted to do from a route standpoint, and they went out and addressed the position with Jahan Dotson. Should be no surprise that that happened. Ranked 19th in tight end routes per drop back, 23rd in targets, 25th in receptions per drop back, and 22nd in yards per drop back. The Logan Thomas return should be one to watch for, and John Bates, a decent start to his career given his pedigree. 24th in terms of red zone volume rank. They ran it a ton down there. Top four in the league at 58.3%. 15th in terms of running back red zone rate at basically 80%. They were 7th in terms of expected points for the running back position. 24th in terms of expected points for the wide receiver position. 22nd for tight ends. And they had a top 7 unit in both PFF pass blocking rate and PFF run blocking rate. So those are the big things there. And then again, you start looking at some of the team related stuff and some of what the individual players did on their team regarding expectation. It was actually Antonio Gibson was basically 1.1 points under expectation last year. In terms of what he did, relatively neutral across the board. It's just a little bit of yardage, a little bit of touchdowns puts him under the expectation there. He had 10 total touchdowns. He was expected for 12.2, basically, rushing and receiving touchdowns together. He was expected for, we'll call it about 1,300, a little over 1,300 yards. And he had, a little over 1,400 yards, and he had just over 1,300 yards. So, nothing too terrible there in terms of his workload. He was expected for 13th in terms of expected points per game, 17th in terms of actual points per game. So again, sort of in that running back 1-2 type tier, he ran routes on 38.7% of their dropbacks. That is compared to J.D. McKissic, who ran at 34.3% of their dropbacks. Antonio Gibson, neutral in terms of yards versus expectations. McKissic, one of the better guys, 88th percentile in terms of over expectation. He had 1.34 yards per route run at expectation, and he had 1.81 yards per route run actually achieved. So, and he was really good at scoring on routes as well. 87th percentile there for McKissic, 76th percentile for Gibson. You look at Gibson, he ranked 31st in routes per game, 14th for McKissic there. And then McKissic was in the 8th in terms of targets per game as well. Gibson ranked 47th in terms of forced missed tackles at 1 every 6.6 2 carries. So I think the addition of Brian Robinson is interesting. I think that there is some, I don't know if it's a ceiling capping issue, right? I do think, you know, that he has basically been a running back 2 by almost all the measures on a per game basis I wonder how that gets a lot better is the big concern there for me. So that's my question for him basically at this point. When you look at the receiving position, I do think Curtis Samuel, there's some ability maybe for him to come back. They paid him a bunch of money. He's under contract this year. He's a potential cut candidate in the offseason. But could he fit in as like a third wide receiver with Dotson and McLaurin? Kind of small receiving core. So that's, I think that's an interesting typography type deal where they find themselves on that. McLaurin, he did rank 27th in expected points per game, 32nd in actual points per game. He was pretty good. He ranked 96th in terms of routes per dropback, so just out there a ton. 81st percentile in terms of targets per route run. His expectation was 1.9 yards per route run, 86th percentile, so really good there. Just underperformed it at 1.81 yards per route run. So again, he's right about the median in terms of performance versus expectation there. 126 targets. So you'd think maybe the volume can go up on that a bit, and maybe some of the expectation goes up in terms of a per route basis, in terms of his points and everything. You hope for that. And you look, there's potential for some more scoring and the like there with maybe a Carson Wentz-led offense. So hopeful there. Again, he was basically a touchdown and a quarter below expectation last year, and about 55 yards under expectation as well. So pretty close in terms of what he was expected to do versus what he did. All right, turn into the tight end position as well, and you've got Logan Thomas. Again, he only played 6 games. He was expected points of 19th at the position. He performed 17th. Again, a lot of his deal has been just a ton of routes, right? So that's somewhat of the problem. He's actually up a little bit in terms of expected yards per route run, but basically comes in at 1.3 yards per route run. It's basically what he has been his career. A little bit better than that, but basically what he's been his career. 1.19 yards per route run for John Bates. Given everything that he did, he's well over expectation. I think that's an interesting, it's not a huge sample, but if there's an issue with Logan Thomas returning from his injury, John Bates is there, right? I think that's an interesting situation. Well above expectation. Again, low sample. Not a huge efficiency guy. Only ran 210 routes, but enough that you're like, huh, like he's okay. Like we can potentially keep our eyes on that. And listen, if Logan Thomas is out there running 99% route participation again, and Bates is a cut candidate, right? I think Bates is a guy that could potentially be a beneficiary, you know, with largely an offense that doesn't have a legit second option, right? Again, I don't think it's the most likely thing that Bates becomes a second option, but I think there's enough opportunity there. There's enough of a void in terms of an established second option where I think he is interesting if something happens to Logan Thomas. Again, he was 96th percentile in terms of percentage of yards per route run over expectation. So really, really good there at the position. When we go ahead and compare the players against their RDP and their ADP over at Underdog, not a ton of split. Wentz 28th in terms of RDP, 27th at Underdog. Gibson 19th in RDP, 23rd in Underdog. Gives me a little bit of pause. It's probably a reason to pass there. I don't like running backs in that range being projected worse than their cost is. McKissick 59th in RDP, 55th in Underdog. So a little bit of value there. McLaurin 21st at both. Jahan Dotson 44th in RDP, 65th in Underdog, 25th for both at Logan Thomas, so not a ton of disconnect there. And then John Bates, 58th in terms of Dynasty RDP, 89th in terms of ADP. So interesting there. Brian Robinson as well, he does make the list. Running back 43 in RDP, 56 in his Underdog ADP. So again, the rookies, as you would expect, overvalued versus the market, and then really some tight compact stuff for the rest of the position. Bates is significantly down the dial in all of those. Again, I think for reasons that I said earlier, I think he's an interesting watch in case something happens with Logan Thomas. All right, well, that'll do it for this episode, and I hope you enjoyed this series. You can keep going through these. This really helps me sort of anchor my team building strategy here over the summer, so this will be helpful in that process and get ramping up as training camp goes along. So until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.